Houston, flight is go.
Pilot go.
STM is go.
Safety cost is go.
SDE is go.
LRD is go.
SRO is go.
CDI is go.
Launch director, NTD, our launch team is ready to proceed at this time.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Site Patriots has a message for liberals and the mainstream media.
You can't handle the truth.
So buckle up, snowflakes, because we're about to deliver the politically direct best in conservative commentary, news, and investigative reports. We're telling the truth, and we're not gonna stop. Okay, liberals, back under the bridge with the rest of your fellow trolls, and oh yeah, thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots.
They are special, special people
on RSPRadio1.com.
Welcome to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen from the National Patriot. Diane Sorey from the Patriot Factor, Friday the 13th edition of the show. Welcome to it. Hello, Diane.
Hello, Craig, and how are you in smoky Nebraska today?
Well, you know, the lilacs are blooming, the grass and the cow pies are on fire. It's springtime in Nebraska.
It's funny, but it's not funny. You know, sad situation. Is this the Sandhill area that's on fire?
Well, yeah, we had a couple of fires break out probably 8 to 10 miles away from where I live today. And I got word of one, and I went out to it. And by the time I got out to it, it was almost finished. We've got great volunteer firefighters out here in this area. I mean, just absolutely fantastic. They had that one pretty well under control. And then as I was coming back, I saw a big plume of smoke off to the east. So I decided to go over there and see what that one was. And that one was going pretty good. And, you know, and the smoke was where I was at, you know, where I was standing. I was probably a half a mile, maybe three quarters of a mile from where it was burning.
Okay.
But the smoke was coming right at us. You know, there's me and one other guy standing out there. And smoke was coming right at us. So I now kind of smell like a combination of burned grass and barbecued cow poo.
Oh, what a delightful, you know, olfactory musing there.
Yeah, I think quite
you better tell folks why you're going to be trying to cough up this hairball here.
Yeah, I apologize, folks. I mean, not only am I dealing with this odd aroma, but right before we went on the air, I swallowed wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And for a moment, I thought I was going to drown. Then I was afraid I wasn't. You know, so I apologize, but it'll clear up by the end of the show. So
by the end, yes.
Yeah.
Now, of course, I told him the fast way to stop that is to immediately drink something hot. And for some reason, that seems to break that cycle of, you know, having to clear your throat. But he didn't have time to do it.
I didn't have time to go nuke anything. Besides, what I got here on the desk to drink is grape-flavored ice water.
Yeah, somehow that doesn't really lend itself to nuking.
No, I think that would be more disgusting than the aroma.
That's true.
So, not doing that. Next Tuesday, Diane, you and I are taking on the abortion issue.
Yes.
Now, you're going at it from what angle?
I'm going at it from what I personally feel about abortion, and when I deem there are four instances that I deem abortion should be allowed, only four instances, never used as birth control.
Right.
And also from the political and legal aspect.
Okay. All right. I'm kind of going at it from a constitutionality aspect.
Right. I touch upon that, but very slightly. But before our listeners get all bent out of shape, let me just tell you the four instances that I believe it should be allowed: rape, incest, the life of the mother, or if a baby is so medically compromised that it can either not survive birth or not survive after birth. Right. I'm not talking about I support an abortion free for all here. No.
No,
four
no.
specific instances alone.
And I think that's reasonable.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I really do.
Otherwise, I'm totally against it.
Now, you're for a week from this Tuesday, you're working on the whole baby formula thing, right?
Yeah. There's a little more than people realize about that. There's, you know, Joe Biden keeps talking about this plant shutting down. Well, guys, there's a little, it's not a little, it's actually a big lie. If he truly wants this country to believe that there's only one factory that produces specialized baby food, baby formulas like the soy, the Islamac, and the Similac, and all that stuff, it's just not true.
You
so
know,
there's other reasons why this is happening.
He'd move a lot faster on this thing if it was affecting pudding.
Hey, Hunter would if it was affecting Coke pipes.
And, yeah, that too. I can solve the whole problem. The whole baby formula. I can solve the whole thing, the formula problem.
Okay.
If pregnant men would stockpile their breast milk, we'd be fine.
Yes.
I'm just saying.
But you notice, you know, along with that, if you want to be snarky, you know, this whole issue about abortion and women's right to abortion and women's reproductive rights. Well, doesn't that kind of leave out the whole transgender women?
Well, you know, what I'm waiting for is some enterprising man to go to a Planned Parenthood place and demand an abortion.
You know what? I pay to see how a man's going to abort a baby.
Well, it doesn't matter. What I'm saying is some enterprising man needs to go to Planned Parenthood, demand an abortion, and when they won't do it, he needs to sue them.
That's true. Is that after they search for the Tampax that is now in men's bathrooms?
Well, there's very few places on a man where you could actually search for that. So it wouldn't take very long.
Yeah, I'd like to know where the baby's going to come out of on a man.
Yeah, well, you know. but, you know, that's what we've got coming up, you know, in the next week or 2 weeks as we move along here. But tonight, you know, it's the 1 hour show tonight, so we've got some interesting topics, some things to discuss. And to begin with, we had mentioned this a couple of months ago when we first started getting wind of it, but it's now becoming a bigger deal. There are more and more Russian soldiers who are refusing to fight the war in Ukraine.
Not only that, in fact, a few of them are actually going public with why they're refusing. One is a man by the name of Dmitry. He's a member of an elite Russian army brigade, and he had been stationed in Russia's Far East. Now, he was deployed to Ukraine via Belarus,
okay,
way back on February 24th, and he and his unit were greeted with resistance from Ukrainian forces, and they actually did not want to fight against these people. And they took it to such a degree that after their unit sustained casualties and tanks were destroyed, there was one tank left, and he and his men actually destroyed that tank so they wouldn't have to go into battle against basically their own countrymen.
Well,
Ukrainians and Russians are ethnically the same people.
You know, that's part of the issue. that a lot of these soldiers over there are facing, they may be firing on members of their own family.
Yeah.
You
and
know,
they
for,
really don't want part of it.
Well, and I think another part of the issue in why some of them aren't fighting is they're looking at this and they're going, you know, this isn't what we told it was. These people aren't who we were told they were. You know,
right.
This is not the war that Putin told us we needed to go fight.
It wasn't even a war. He told them that they were going to be conducting military exercises. And then they find out it's a full-blown war with war crimes and atrocities committed in the Russian people's name. And they don't want any part of it. But
well,
it's very interesting that the, you know, so-called second greatest military on Earth after ours, here it is, they're going against a ragtag group of Ukrainian military and mostly volunteers, and over 26,000 Russian military personnel have already been killed.
That's amazing.
That is amazing, and you've got to hand it to Zelensky and his forces.
Well, and then there was some other news regarding the Russians in Ukraine. There was, a river that mm-hmm. kind of blocked their way. What's the deal with that?
That's a river where the Russians were trying to bring in supplies to their own people.
Right.
And also their military, and Ukraine destroyed the whole convoys coming across the river.
You know, if the Russians really want to get across the river, what they need is a bunch of Mexicans and Central Americans, because those people apparently can cross rivers.
That's true. That's true. Sadly, that's true. But it's, you know, a lot of these soldiers who are now, I wouldn't call it defective, you know, defecting, because they are going to other areas not directly involved with Ukraine. But more and more are saying they're actually ashamed. What the hell is Putin doing?
Well, I'll tell you, some of these people, these Russian military people, they better be careful or their next station is going to be somewhere in Siberia.
If they even make it to Siberia.
You
the
know,
bottom
I mean,
line is,
Putin's not going to take kindly to this.
Well, you know, for a long time we've been talking about Putin needs to be taken out. We don't hide that, folks. Putin needs to be taken out. And we've said at times, Craig, it might have to come from his own military. That
right.
doesn't mean the military hierarchy. It could come from a lowly soldier who has said, I will sacrifice my life to save millions.
It could be the rank and file.
Yes, it could be. And that would set off a revolution for freedom throughout all of Russia.
It'd be a really interesting thing to see. It's hard to comprehend, but
right.
it's not out of the realm of possibility.
No, not you know? At all. Not at all.
The war's just not going the way Putin wanted it to. And I mean,
is now 3 months.
Well, and I mean, not only are they having the problem with their own supply lines, the Ukrainians are pushing them back in some towns, retaking some of the towns mm-hmm. in eastern Ukraine that the Russians thought, hey, we got this, you know. The Russians sank some more boats, and that
mm-hmm.
was part of that river crossing, I think.
You mean the Ukrainians sunk the Russian
yeah,
boats?
Yeah, mm-hmm. And, you know, so it's been a remarkable effort by the Ukrainians. Really, it has.
Yes. You've got to give them a lot of credit. You've got to give Zelensky a lot of credit. And people need to wake up. People in our country who think that Putin is the good guy and Zelensky is the bad guy. You've got it reversed.
Yeah, there's too many people that think that way, too.
Yes, you see their comments on social media, and these people really don't have a clue.
No, they have no idea what they're talking about.
No, they think that Putin's fighting the world, the New World Order. I got news for you. Putin's trying to make his own new world order with himself as the titular head. But you people are too blind to see what's actually going on.
Yeah, it's kind of sad.
It is.
When you get right down to it. Now, also dealing in a way with Ukraine is the situation with Finland. Finland has applied to become a member of NATO, but they don't want to go through the long drawn out process. They're asking NATO to do this toot sweet.
Right. Technically, it takes about a year from the time a country applies, but NATO has promised that if Russia does anything in Finland, remember they share an 800 plus border. In fact, I think it's 810 mile border with Russia, that NATO will back them up. And adding to that, Finland's going to announce their official decision on Sunday, which everybody is pretty much secure in the fact that they are going to join NATO. It was just announced that Sweden is going to announce on Sunday also.
You know, the whole Sweden thing, we'll get back to Finland here in a minute, but the whole thing with Sweden is really fascinating to me because they've had a long, long history of neutrality. And for them to be joining NATO, I honestly, I find it rather surprising.
I don't, for the simple reason that it really goes back to Sweden and, I mean, to Finland in World War II, because Finland and Russia were on opposing sides during World War II. And when World War II ended, Finland was forced to give up some of its own territory to Russia. And they haven't forgotten that. They've stayed neutral during the Cold War, but they haven't forgotten that. In other words, there are actually ethnic Finns who were forced to become Russians.
Yeah, which, you know, never set well with Finland. They had to give up some of their fjords and start driving Chevys.
So it's an interesting situation. Plus also the White House, as in Biden, said, but don't count, you know, count this. It might have been said with the fingers crossed behind his back, that we will back the NATO application from both Sweden and Finland when and if they do apply. But, you know, a lot of good we're doing. So what does it really matter? They're still waiting for some of the first, you know, military equipment that was promised them that still hasn't gotten there.
Well, and Putin is mad as hell about Finland.
Yes.
He's threatening Finland, you know,
yeah.
I mean, don't do this or, you know, we'll come for you, or don't do this or, you know, nukes might get involved. I'm really getting sick and tired of Putin and his bloviating about nuclear weapons. I mean, what he's trying to do now is hold all of Europe hostage.
Yeah, I wrote that in my article from last week. He's got his grip over all of Europe. They're afraid to do anything. In fact, he actually stated that Russia will be forced to take retaliatory steps, both of a military, technical, and other nature, read, you know, nukes here, in order to neutralize the threat to its national security that arose from Finland. Really? What threat is Finland to Russia?
What threat is Finland to anybody?
Exactly. They're very peaceful people. They don't threaten anybody. But this threat, you know, of nukes all the time, and if it's not nukes, it's chemical weapons. The bottom line is, Putin is actually a coward.
You know, that's a good point.
Hiding behind bravado. He's a coward hiding behind narcissistic bravado.
You know, somebody, and I think it's going to be the Finns and Sweden, too, this weekend. They basically, what they need to tell Putin is sit down and shut up, you sawed-off little twerp.
And then, you know, he'll say, well, my finger's really itchy. You better, you know, toe the line or my finger is going to pull something. But what he doesn't understand is NATO, including us, we have as many nukes as Putin has, you know, give or take 5-10 nukes on either side, whatever. What Putin, if Putin dared to launch something into Europe, I think China would turn on Russia.
You know, they might, because they, you know, China, they depend on us and Europe for their income.
Exactly, especially us. Yeah,
and you know, they're going to look at it from a monetary standpoint. Okay, and the more Putin does what he's doing now, if he adds nukes or chems to that, he's going to lose what few friends he has left outside of maybe Iran.
Right. And Iran, I mean, come on. They got Israel that would, you know, sort of take care of them while we took care of everything else. But it was very interesting what the Finnish, I guess he's the prime minister, said. His name is Niinisto, and he responded to Russia's concerns about Finland, you know, jeopardizing their security.
Right.
He actually told Putin and crew that joining NATO would not be against anything. You caused this. Look in the mirror.
That's exactly
about
right.
Putin.
That's exactly right. Putin is sitting there in Moscow, and he's saying, well, you better not do this, or we're going to retaliate. Well, right. Wait a minute. Who started it? You know, and I mean, I don't want to get in for a tit-for-tat thing here, you know, but what Putin's basically telling the world is, I'm going to do whatever I want, but you better not do anything about it, or then I'll come after you.
Right.
It's ridiculous.
This is the stuff of cowards. Now, the man who said what I just said, that was actually the Finnish president. His name is Sauli Niinisto, and he's had it with Putin. He's fed up with him, totally fed up with him. And he also said, as a member of NATO, Finland would strengthen the entire defense alliance. Finland must apply for NATO membership without delay. And that's when it came about that they are going to announce on Sunday. Putin is a bloviating coward, a narcissistic little man with a Napoleon complex who is channeling his inner Hitler. How's that one?
That's a pretty good picture.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's pretty accurate when you get right down to it. It's just going to be a remarkable thing to see what happens, because what we've got over there in Europe is these smaller countries, Finland, Sweden, and so on, that are going to fall like dominoes into NATO.
Right.
And, you know, Putin at the beginning of this thing, his big deal was, well, I don't want Ukraine going and joining NATO because I don't want NATO on my doorstep. Well, by moving into Ukraine, he's literally putting NATO on his doorstep. So that argument's out the window. Now,
exactly.
Finland goes in, Sweden goes in. What he's actually doing is making the situation he wanted to avert worse.
Totally worse.
You know?
And remember, Switzerland, of all countries, also started talking about possibly joining NATO. No decision has been reached yet, but they have started to consider it.
That would be the most fascinating of all if they did that.
The ultimate slap in the face.
I think the most interesting part of the situation with Finland is that NATO said, well, get your application in and we'll protect you even before you become a member. Because then if Putin does anything to Finland, it's no holds barred.
Right. And then there is one other country that they are a member of NATO, and Russia sort of kept quiet about them. And that is Norway. The top of Norway curves around to a very small part of northwestern Russia.
Right.
So don't be surprised if Putin starts now doing something along the border with Norway, because that is a NATO nation and they're right there on Russia's border.
You know, you can't put anything past him. I mean, no, you really can't. And I think if it wasn't for the fact that he's basically getting his ass kicked in Ukraine right now, because he's not making the progress that he promised that he was going to make, right? So if it wasn't for the fact that he's tied down in Ukraine right now, I think he would put some troops up along the border there, that little hook by Norway, as an intimidation factor. But right now, I don't think he can spare them. I really don't.
I don't think he can either. And pretty soon, you're going to start seeing overt defections. They're not going to hide it anymore.
Yeah, I'm waiting for that. I'm waiting for the Russian soldiers to start defecting to Ukraine.
Yeah, that will be very interesting.
And I think, honestly, as this drags on, you know, we're in the third month, or we're coming up to month three right now. I don't know that it's going to be more than another month before we start to see exactly that.
I think by the time of our election in November, this will have all come to a head, and I do not see, and I'm going out on a limb here, but I don't see Vladimir Putin leading Russia by November.
You know, that there's been these rumors out there that this is going to wrap up near the end of September.
Right.
Okay, and supposedly, and use your air quotes, you know, this has been Russia's plan all along, and the military operation, the military exercise, you know, but that's you know, kind of what's being hinted at here. And I think what it is a way for Putin to try and get his keister out of there, you know, and then be able to say, well, this was our plan all along.
Safe face, but nobody's going to believe it.
Well, that's just it, you know. But yeah, by November, I do believe it's going to be over. I think, you know, Ukraine will then be faced with a daunting task of trying to rebuild.
Yeah. And they're going to need a lot of help. And NATO, and that includes us, we are required to help them. That's part of the NATO agreement. And people in this country better get used to that. You don't leave your partners, your allies, hung out to dry. You know, people in this country are complaining about the money that has been sent to Ukraine. It's nothing on the scope of what President Trump would have done. We would have been there helping the Ukrainians, even if it was volunteers.
Well,
We have to help rebuild our allies, just like we did after World War II.
I hope Zelensky is not counting on Joe Biden and the U.S. government in that rebuilding effort, because Biden could hump up a one-car parade.
Yeah, no, I'm talking about our help, you know, coming in 2024 for the rebuilding. Remember, the first part is not rebuilding. The first part is burying the dead, collecting the body parts, you know, the very gruesome aspects. And that's not over in a day or so.
No, but, you know, along, and we just got a couple seconds left in this segment, but along with getting out, we both think it's going to happen this fall. that Russia's gonna pull the plug on this thing. But I guarantee you part of that is also going to be a scorched earth policy.
Oh, yeah. I think he'll do something. I don't think it's going to be nukes. I think he's going to set off a chemical blast somewhere, whether it's in Ukraine or in Europe, even in Finland.
I think massive, massive, massive rocket attacks on Kiev. Yeah. You know, just... I see him wanting to do to Kiev what he did to Mariupol.
Oh, absolutely. And you know what? If Belarus, if their government had any sense at all, they would back away from helping Russia. But they're not going to.
They're not going to.
Because they are going to be one of the big losers in this as well.
Folks, we've hit the end of the segment. That means we got to take a quick bottom of the hour break, get a couple of station IDs in. But don't worry, we got more stuff to talk about when we come back. So stay with us. There's more Right Side Patriots after this.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sori. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Hi guys, Diane Sori from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out The National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on rspradio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot and Diane Sori at the Patriot Factor. It is the Friday night edition of the show, and if you miss any part of it, go to rspradio1.com tomorrow morning, click the podcast button, and become one of the Podbean pod people.
Mm-hmm. We love our pod people.
It's as easy as clicking a button. Don't have to fill out any forms in triplicate. You don't have to give us your name. You know, we don't care what your last pet's name was when you were 6 years old. None of that. Just click buttons. Just go over there and start clicking.
Yes, and we're growing our pod people by the day.
Sounds like an ag project. We're growing pod people. Next thing you know, we'll be making Soylent Green.
Oh, dear.
You never know. Off the topic of Ukraine and Finland and Russia and the war and all that kind of stuff, you know, this abortion issue has really boiled over, and it's got the liberals boiling mad, you know, from the leak a little over a week ago. And they're just fuming and foaming at the mouths about this thing. Now, the Senate yesterday tried to ramrod through a bill that would codify, that's the word of the week, you know, if you're a liberal, codify Roe v. Wade, make Roe v. Wade the law of the land as passed by Congress.
Right.
So they took it up in the Senate. And what happened?
What happened was Joe Manchin did the right thing again. His record is getting better on doing the right thing. And he voted with the Republicans against codification, the only Democrat. But it was enough where Kamala Harris's vote didn't matter. They lost.
And I'll tell you, the funniest part of that was watching Kamala have to announce that the nays came out on top. She was devastated. She was just devastated. Manchin, what do you mean we can't kill babies?
Manchin warned them. In fact, he actually told them ahead of time that he was not going to vote for this. He told them, why are you going to go forward with this? It's not going to pass.
He told them literally it was a bridge too far. He said this bill goes too far. And it did.
In fact, yeah, he said there were 500 items that would affect each state. It would take away rights from every single state and increase abortions.
Right. Well, I mean,
he laid it on the table, but he has always been against abortion. You've got to give Manchin certain things. The one who I'm disappointed in now is Sinema.
I thought maybe Sinema, Kristen Sinema out of Arizona, I thought she might go our way on this thing. Yeah. But as a day or two ahead of time, we weren't hearing anything from her. And I thought, she's going to vote in lockstep. And she did.
She did. And these people don't understand. They just don't get the whole concept of abortion. And it buried in this bill was late-term abortion and abortion up to 3 months after birth.
That's not abortion.
That's murder.
That's right.
That's simple, first-degree, premeditated murder. And this is what the Democrats support?
I mean, how do they even put that in a bill? How do they even weasel that into a bill? Because that's like...
Fancy wording.
But listen, that's like try it for 90 days, and if you don't like it... I mean...
What? Post-abortion abortion or post-birth abortion is what I think they called it.
If you're not happy with your kid after 3 months, nobody's going to care, right?
How could any woman live with themselves if they did that? They don't understand that when a developing baby reaches 6.5 months of age, they are viable.
Absolutely.
And here it is. These women are having abortions at 6.5 months, 7 months, 8 months, 9 months. I'm sorry. That's out and out murder.
Well, and, like we said early in the show tonight, next Tuesday, Diane and I are both covering the abortion thing from different viewpoints, from different angles.
It's different angles, with the same view. Yeah.
Yeah. And, this whole business, and we keep hearing it over and over again from these liberals, and we heard it earlier this week from Whoopi Goldberg on The View. The choice to have an abortion is something that I'm in on the decision, she said. The doctor's in on the decision. My child is in on the decision. I'm thinking, what? Your child? What?
How was the child in on a decision?
Tell
me.
Well, I can't figure it out. I mean, I have no idea what she's talking about, and I suspect neither does she.
Yeah, it's, what is it, yes, mommy, kill me?
Well, if you're looking...
Is she that stupid?
Yes. She is as dumb as a brick, and that's an insult to bricks.
That's an insult to bricks, yeah, exactly. I mean... These people don't think logically. Number one, with the whole point that they miss is, yeah, they scream, my body, my choice. Yeah, your body is one half of the equation. There's another body involved that's not yours.
Yeah, but I'll tell you this. This is my viewpoint on it, okay? My body, my choice, right?
Yeah.
It's not my body, my choice. It's the baby's body and the mother's convenience.
Well, the baby is, you know, because it needs the umbilical cord to survive, parasitic in nature, but it's still two separate bodies. It's just that the second body is temporarily encased within the first body. But
yes,
those
but
are two separate human beings.
Yeah, and I don't want to get into this, you know, parasitic situation here, because according to liberals, your children could be parasitic to their parents until they're 26 years old if they're lucky enough not to get aborted.
Oh,
you know, liberals are parasites to begin with. Okay,
yeah,
so let's not even
understand the definition of parasitic in this respect. Is these people are just, these women should be totally ashamed of themselves.
Yeah, but we're talking about
liberals. Maybe they should make it. I have an idea. Maybe they should make it that if you're selfish enough to have an abortion, that you don't want the child you're carrying, maybe you should be sterilized so you never have to carry another child again.
You know, that has been brought up in the past. You know, I've heard that. I've heard that from, you know, the pro-life people in the past. And it's hard to argue with that. Because if you're going to use abortion as birth control, then there's a way to make sure that never happens again.
Yeah. And what kind of parent are you going to be the second time around? You murdered your first one, but the second one is okay? No. There's something wrong here. And a lot of women, and I'm not saying all, of course, but there is a great number of women who are using abortion as birth control that have had 4, 5, 6, 7 abortions.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Use contraceptives, for God's sake.
I mean, they're available. They're cheap. They're everywhere.
Exactly. They're in the grocery stores.
Yeah, I know. That's always kind of odd to me.
Isn't it, though?
Well, except for the flavored ones.
Oh, okay. I mean, this whole issue has gotten way out of line. And what they've tried to do is legitimize murder and infanticide. And there is no legitimacy there.
Part of me, though, is torn about it. I mean, there's a part of me, and maybe it's the cynical part of me,
mm-hmm.
that says, well, you know, 9 out of 10 people that are going to go ahead and do this and get an abortion are probably liberals, so we're actually controlling the liberal population if we allow it.
Yeah, we're culling the liberal herd, right?
You know, and that's the cynical side of me, but, you know, there's no guarantee that a child born to a liberal will stay a liberal.
No.
It's not genetic.
No. I mean, in fact, there's a Fox correspondent. I forget her name right now. But her parents were diehard liberals. And she's on all the different Fox shows. Kennedy. Her parents are diehard liberals. And she is a, not independent, the third party, Craig. What is that?
Libertarian.
Libertarian. She is a strong libertarian with Republican leanings, raised by 2 uber-liberal Democrats. You know, just because you're born of a Democrat doesn't mean that you don't have common sense on your own.
I'm proof of that.
Your parents were liberals?
My mother is.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Now, and see, here's the other aspect of it. I'm adopted.
Right.
Okay. My birth mother, and I don't use that to be politically correct. I'm using that term because the woman who put me up for adoption, my birth mom, my mom, is a liberal. She's a Democrat. Now, she's probably a little bit more on the Kennedy Democrat side, but she is liberal. But she is liberal. All right.
Okay.
Now, my birth father, on the other hand, is a conservative.
Oh, okay. One washed out the other.
Yeah. I grew up, my adoptive parents were both Republicans.
Okay.
You know, so, you know, that's maybe that's where I get it from. But my dad, when he got older, this is my adoptive dad, when he got older, he, like so many people that reach into their upper 70s and lower 80s and mid 80s, he got to the point where he was getting more and more liberal.
Really?
Yeah. And I never quite understood that. You know, I mean, remember when Hillary care was all the rage?
Oh, please. Yes.
Remember that? My dad, we're sitting on the front porch. My dad was like, well, I don't think that's such a bad thing. And I'm like, are you kidding me? That's socialism. And he's like, really? You think it's socialism? I said, absolutely, it's socialism.
Of course.
You know, and I just, it shocked me when he said that.
Maybe he had a touch of dementia.
No, he never really did. You know, he was sharp pretty much up until the end.
Wow.
You know, but it's just like, really? You know, really? So you can't. Honestly believe that, can you? And if, well, I don't know. It doesn't sound that bad. I'm like, it's socialism.
But you know what's funny is when we were teenagers, young teenagers, middle teenagers, older teenagers, young adults, whatever, many of us were more liberal.
Well,
and we actually got conservative as we got older, entered the workforce, and saw reality and saw the dangers that a certain way of thinking posed. And we might have been more, you know, kumbaya, let's all get along while we were younger, but it didn't stick because we grew up.
Well, and, you know, Churchill, I think it was Churchill, said something along, I'm going to paraphrase here, but he said something along the lines of, if you're under the age of 30 and a conservative, you have no heart. If you're over the age of 30 and a liberal, you have no brain.
Right.
You know, right. And that's really where that kind of falls down to. But look, we've got one more topic we want to discuss that I think we can have a little bit of fun with this in the 10 or 11 minutes we've got left in the show. The Elon Musk deal for Twitter is back in the news. Well, never really left the news, let's be honest, because the liberals have been melting down over it since the day he made the deal. But it's on hold now, right?
Right. And it's on hold because the FCC now has a little grievance with Twitter and Mr. Musk. They say the Twitter deal temporarily is on hold, pending details supporting circulation that spam fake accounts do indeed represent less than 5% of users. Now, Elon Musk tweeted that last Friday. The thing is, everything from Facebook to MeWe to Gab to every social media site out there, probably a good quarter to a third, maybe even upwards of a half, are fake accounts. People with two and three accounts, people that don't exist, spammers, whatever. It's just part of social media.
Well, but,
you know,
it
this
is.
Was not a concern with Twitter before Elon Musk bought it. It only became a concern of the government after Elon Musk bought it and said it's going to be a free speech zone.
Yeah, I mean, when it was in the hands of liberals and nobody thought that would ever change, well, you know, so you got a whole bunch of fake accounts and spam accounts and everything. Yeah, but let somebody who's going to, you know, use it or turn Twitter into what it should have been all along, like you say, free speech, and all of a sudden, oh, well, we've got to investigate this. Now, here's the question. What happens if they find out that more than 5% of the Twitter accounts are fake? Then what?
Well, you know what? They've got to then go investigate Facebook, MeWe, Gitter, Parler, many of the platforms out there. That's just to name a few. You can't selectively enforce and go against one company without looking into the other companies. That's called targeting.
Well, but
and that's not allowed.
But that's not my point. My point is, what does it do to Musk's deal if they find there's more than 5%?
It could end up shutting down the whole company altogether.
Well, here's an interesting idea. Let's say instead of 4% spam accounts and fake accounts on Twitter, let's say the number is closer to 10%.
Okay.
I think that would give Elon Musk the ability to say, look, you told me it was less than 5%. Now I see it's almost 10%. Instead of $54.20 a share, we're now down to 45.
Yeah, but the problem is he would owe Twitter $1 billion in what is called a breakup fee if he were to cancel the deal because the FCC is, you know, raising a ruckus.
Well, no. See, I'm not saying he's going to cancel the deal. I'm saying what he could do is say, look, there's a lot more spam and fake accounts on here than what you, Twitter, told me there was. So instead of $54.20 a share, we're now down to $45 a share. Now it's in Twitter's court. You see,
but Twitter, he would have to be able to prove that.
Well, but that's the government's investigating it.
You trust a government investigation?
Well, what I'm saying is, if the government says that the number is above 5%, okay? No, I don't trust the government. But if the government says it's more than 5%, well, then what's Twitter going to do? I mean, they're either going to have to purge the fake accounts, because I guarantee you they know who they are.
Of course they know who they are.
Or they're going to have to come down on their price. Because if Elon says, I'm going to come down $5 a share, okay?
Yeah.
Then if Twitter says, oh, no, deal's off, then it's not Elon canceling the deal, it's Twitter.
And Twitter could actually be broken up at that point.
Yes.
For canceling a deal.
Yes.
And it could affect other platforms like Facebook as well.
Right.
Which wouldn't be a bad thing.
No, it would not be.
You know, yeah. I'm tired of being in Facebook jail 47 times.
It's just an interesting conundrum for Twitter.
It is.
Right now.
It is, and it's also very bad for our government in the sense that here it is, they have one of their agencies going after Twitter because Elon Musk wants to make it free speech. They don't want that. They want the liberal propaganda only. And if they continue to go after him and do not touch Zuckerberg and the others, that's very, very dangerous precedent that has been set.
It
and
is.
could force the breakup of these monopolies.
I'm going to throw something else in the mix.
Okay.
Donald Trump.
Okay. Truth Social.
Well, no, I'm talking about Twitter.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think, no, he would, I've been reading some stuff about that. He would never, ever buy Twitter.
No. I'm not talking about him buying Twitter. I'm talking about him getting back on Twitter. Okay.
Well, Elon Musk has already said he's back on, but Trump wants no part of being on Twitter.
Here's the thing. I think Trump is waiting for the deal to be done. I think he's waiting for the final signature on the bottom line of the contract and Elon Musk to have the deed to Twitter. Okay? Trump would be a fool not to get back on Twitter.
No, I agree with you there. He needs to have Twitter and use it as well. But he is really concentrating on Truth Social because that is his baby.
Well, I know. But
you know,
I'm
he's got Devin Nunes running it. I mean, Truth Social, because I'm on it, I see what goes on. It still has a lot of picadillos that need to be worked out, and it needs to be made available to more people, yep. Android users and also PCs, before it could really take off. But I don't think he's willing to put that second and put Twitter first.
Nope. I'm not. That's not what I'm talking about. You're knowing me way too fast here. Okay, here's the thing: if he waits till the thing is firmly in the hands of Elon Musk and then says, "Okay, I'll go back on Twitter and I'll tweet every once in a while," do you know what happens to Elon Musk's investment in Twitter? It goes through the roof.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know? And stock prices, especially in the tech field, which are taking a hit now, they will start to rise again.
Well, and from that viewpoint, at that point, anything Trump touches as far as tech is concerned, the stock in it will rise. And Trump knows that.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's the only reason I could see him going back on Twitter. But I think, you know, he doesn't want to announce it now because it's not completely in Elon Musk's hands.
No, not yet.
You know, but once it is, then I think you'll start seeing the occasional tweet. And he might only tweet and say, hey, come on over to Truth Social. But, whatever he does... And he'd be a fool not to get back on Twitter, even though he's got Truth Social. It would be huge. And it would send a message that, oh my God, you know, look who's in control, King MAGA, according to...
Right. As Joe called him. You know, Joe thinks he's insulting him by that, but he's actually building him up.
You got to wonder if Biden has any idea what MAGA means.
No, he probably doesn't. He thinks it's a pudding flavor. I don't know. MAGA, the flavor of the month.
But when you call somebody the king of making America great again, that's a huge compliment.
Yes. I am looking forward to January, 17th, 2025, when Donald Trump EOs out all of Biden's bullshit.
Yep, get rid of the bullshit, keep the pudding.
Yeah. By that time, Uncle Joe will probably be, you know, in a home somewhere.
Well, he'll just be... you know, I mean... But, yeah, this whole Twitter thing and Elon Musk gets more interesting by the day.
Yes, it does. And a lot of it, you know, is just drama. Drama makes good publicity.
And I'll tell you something. Every day I go over and I look at my Twitter account just to see what Elon Musk has posted.
Oh, yeah. I follow him on Twitter. Yeah, I see what's going on there.
I do, too. And I'll tell you, that guy puts up some funny damn tweets.
Oh, he does. He's got a good sense of humor.
I'm telling you. I would love to get him on this show.
So would I.
I mean, I would absolutely love it. Well, folks, look, we're almost out of time.
I'm trying to find out if a certain person that I know, who I think has met him, might be able to do something, but I doubt it.
When he gets to Mars, I'll have my people get on it.
Yeah, you know how many offers this man must have?
Oh, my God. Thousands by the day.
He doesn't even go on Fox. What makes you think he's going to come on our little show?
Well, because we're better than Fox.
We are better than Fox because we tell the truth. And yeah, we're not afraid to say things.
Diane, we have plumb run out of time, and you are 100% correct. We will call it the way we see it.
Exactly. No holds bar.
I'll tell you what, we've got some good shows coming up in the next week or two.
Yes.
We hope you folks tune in for those. If you missed any part of tonight's show, go to rspradio1.com in the morning, click the podcast button, and listen to your heart's content. But with that, we're out of time.
And with that, I will say nighty-night, folks.
Good night, everybody. Have a great weekend. We'll catch up with you on Tuesday.